Well, in just a couple, two, 3 weeks ago, that Jan and I drove up to Shipshewana. They have a pretty new performing arts center that have some amazing concerts there. And we went to see the rock group Three Dog Night. Okay, this might stir up some thoughts from y'all. I don't know if you realize that, but that group started in 1968. So they've been a band for 57 years. Now, although various band members have changed over the years, obviously, at the concert, there was one of the original members of the band. He's 82 years old. His name is Danny Hutton. And believe it or not, he can still sing and move. Not as well as before, but hey, at 82, that's pretty amazing. And just think about it, that's 574 in dog years. Three Dog Night. Three Dog Night. Okay. I don't have a day job. Now, Three Dog Night had several big hits over the years, and they sang most of them. The song they ended with, though, is one of my favorites. Joy to the world, all the boys and girls now. Joy to the fishes in the deep blue sea. Joy to you and me. Now, I heard some of you mouthing it, so sing it with me. Joy to the world, all the boys and girls now. Joy to the fishes in the deep blue sea. Joy to you and me. Wow, I think that's page 234 in the hymnal. Let's get that on the rotation. It's that word joy that I want to focus on for today's teaching. Actually, our next verses come from Matthew chapter 22, 34 to 40. Willie, did you have something? And Dan just retired. Well, that's good to know, too. Good to know. That's fantastic. Now, speaking of the word joy, I don't know if many of you have heard the illustration before of using the acronym for joy, J-O-Y, as meaning Jesus, others, you. Joy is a simple reminder. J-O-Y is a simple reminder of the priorities that Christians should have. Jesus, God, should come first. Others, and that includes a lot of people, family, friends, neighbors, they should come second. And then you, the why, comes last. Now, unfortunately, there are times that we get this mixed up, don't we? I know I have. Sometimes I put me first, others second, and Jesus last. That's totally backwards. Sometimes Jesus has come first and me second and then others last. And that's J-O. And I don't think that even is right, is it? I mean, I think there's always room for J-O. That's what they said in the commercial back in the day. But here's the last one. Sometimes we get it messed up by having others first, Jesus second, and then us last. OG, that's not even a word. Joy is the word I want to talk about today. And so while we go to the scriptures next, what's weird maybe for you is you're not even going to see the word joy pop up. But in the end result of Jesus' words that he will say essentially express the acronym for joy. Well, let's go to the scripture. Matthew 22, verses 33 to 40. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, they met together to question him once again. One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important, to love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus finishes with this. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Well, first, let me take a moment and define what is the law of Moses that the Pharisees were referring to. generally speaking, the Law of Moses is the first five books of the Bible, sometimes referred to as the Torah, because that's Hebrew for the word law. Sometimes it's called the Pentateuch, which is Greek for five books. Also, the Law of Moses can refer to the 600 plus rules and regulations and commandments that are found in the first, the second through the fifth books of the Bible. Now, here's what's interesting. God just gave 10 commandments, and then it was the Israelites that made up all the rest, 600 and plus. The bottom line is that's a lot of material. That's a lot of reading. That's a lot of understanding. Maybe these Pharisees thought that Jesus could pick just one for them to obey. The Pharisees approached Jesus with their question, and I'll read it again. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the Law of Moses? So they wanted Jesus to say which one of those was the most important for them to keep. I guess they were thinking they could ignore the others if they could keep just one. Jesus was basically saying in his answer, if the Law of Moses seems overwhelming, if it seems like it's too much to read, too much to remember, too much to comprehend, too much to obey, Jesus says, I'll give you the Cliff Notes version. Now, does anybody remember Cliff Notes from school? Okay, there's a few nodding their head and raising their hands. They were those yellow pamphlets with the black lettering. And instead of reading an entire book, you could read the Cliff Notes version and take the shortcut. Now, they were used for, and I might have used them, for something like assignments to read William Shakespeare's Hamlet. And I did have mixed emotions on whether to use the shortcut or not. I kept thinking to myself, to cheat or not to cheat? That is the question. But Jesus kind of gave the Cliff Notes answer to the Pharisees' question. He summed up all the laws by saying it boils down to this. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Now, how in the world does this apply to the acronym JOY? That's what I want to get into next. First of all, the command, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, is the J. That's where Jesus is first. those three commands involve loving Jesus with your heart, which to me seems like there's love that has to be emotional. Not that we're emotional about everything with Jesus, but there's it should exude some type of emotion when Jesus comes first. It also includes loving Jesus with all your mind. So there's an intellectual part to this, loving God, loving Jesus first. Now, the soul is the other part of this. And while we understand the heart, emotion, while we understand intellect, the mind, it's kind of hard to comprehend soul, isn't it? And yet, the explanation for what the soul is this. It's the mind, the will, and the emotion. The mind, will, and emotion makes up your soul. It's who you are. But isn't it interesting that the soul is a combination of this emotion and intellect, this heart and mind. The bottom line, though, isn't about loving God these three ways, but loving God completely. And I believe that's why when it was written by Matthew and spoken by Jesus, he said, let's be all in with your love for God. The Bible says, and you may find this strange for me to say it this way, but I believe this is the way the Bible says it in its own way. There's only two kinds of people in the world. Those who hate God and those who love God. People are either ain'ts or saints. If you ain't with God, you're against him. According to the Bible, there are no fence sitters when it comes to the faith. Okay, so that's the letter J, joy, Jesus. The next letter in joy is the O, and that letter stands for others. And that's part of the command of love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Well, before we can do that, I think we need to define who is our neighbor. You might recall a story that Jesus told one time about a Jewish traveler who was beaten, robbed, and left for dead. A couple Jewish travelers, religious men, passed by, but they didn't help. And then a Samaritan man came by and actually helped the man. He performed first aid. He took the guy to a motel, and he paid all of his expenses. The odd part of that story, as you well know, is that Jews and Samaritans hated each other. So Jesus identified this good Samaritan as being a neighbor because he showed mercy to the injured man. And when Jesus told that story, he finished by saying, and we should do the same. That's how we should treat our neighbor. Well, basically, our neighbor is anyone we come into contact with. That includes, and I'll start easy, that includes family, and sometimes that could be easy or hard, but it includes family and friends and members of the neighborhood, co-workers, students and teachers at school, etc. Neighbors includes fellow believers, both inside your home church and outside. Neighbors also include, and this is where it gets hard, neighbors include our ex-spouses, ex-in-laws, people who have cheated us, those who have spread false gossip about us, those who've offended us, etc. Neighbors are even our enemies. To say loving some of our neighbors is a challenge is an understatement. A Pew Research Center survey explored several aspects of community life in the United States, including neighborly relations. A majority of Americans, 57%, say they know some of their neighbors. Now, you can kind of feel out how you are according to this survey. But about 57% say they know some of their neighbors. Far fewer say they know most of their neighbors. That's 26%. Social events among neighbors are relatively rare. Now, rural residents are more than likely than the suburban and urban areas to know their neighbors. But according to the survey, they're not any more likely to interact with them. Why is this? Why is this? Of course, I don't know all the answers, but I do have something I've observed over the decades, and that's what I'll share. As new houses are being built, they don't put front porches on them anymore. Usually new houses are built with a deck in the back and then a fenced-in backyard. The little town of Kennard, Indiana, where Jan and I live, and very similar to Caddis, the town of Kennard is well over 100 years old, maybe getting close to 150. But the vast majority of the houses that were built early in the town have porches on them, front porches. And they're usually big front porches. The porch was the place to visit your neighbor. You could stop and visit while they were sitting on their porch and you were taking a walk or a bike ride. Sometimes your neighbor would be sitting on their porch and you're sitting on your porch and you're even just yelling back and forth to each other. The porch was the place to meet your neighbor, to get to know your neighbor. Loving your neighbor, your literal neighbor, was easier and more natural back in the day. But what about today? It seems that houses today have an attached garage. Without even getting out of the car, you hit the button, you pull into the garage. And then with the push of the button, the garage door opens. and then you park the car, and then another push of the button, and the door comes down, and nobody sees you getting in or out of your vehicle. And then for a place to relax, it is outside in the backyard, but surrounded by a 6-foot-tall privacy fence that keeps the neighbors from seeing or hearing you. Loving your neighbor today is much harder and not as natural. So in my opinion, this changed neighborhood scenario has spilled over to every other area of life. Just some examples. Instead of going into the restaurant where we might interact with some of our neighbors, we stay in our car and go through the drive-thru window and get our food. Instead of going into the gas station to pay for our fuel, we pay at the pump and we never see a neighbor. Instead of going into the grocery store where we might interact with some neighbors, we order online with an app and then drive into the parking lot. They bring the groceries out to us. And I thought, heck, Amazon knows more about us than our next door neighbors. Now, I said all that to say this. Loving our neighbor is different today. But while our neighboring situation has changed, God's word has not changed. And it will never change. And the lack of front porches, the addition of drive-through windows and pay at the pump, Amazon, and even Facebook did not catch God off guard. So the commandment, love your neighbor, still applies. We just have to figure out how to make it work. Finally, the why in the word joy stands for you. Jesus commands us to love ourselves. Now, most of us love ourselves. It's natural, but that's really not the emphasis here. The Bible actually warns against excessive self-love or self-centeredness, which can lead to pride and selfishness. And yet, as I read these scriptures, Jesus seems to imply that to love our neighbor grows out of a healthy love for ourselves. The healthy way to love yourself is to accept the unconditional love of God for you. He loves you just the way you are. If you've been going to church all your life, since you were Ryder Wilson Parker's age, He loves you. But if you didn't ever grow up in the church and you just started coming today, He loves you. If you know any, have memorized lots of verses in the Bible, God loves you. If you don't know one, He loves you. God loves you, and He loves you unconditionally. So the healthy way to love yourself is to accept the unconditional love of God for you. To see yourself as He sees you. To rejoice and be at peace with who He has created you to be. Well, I'm just about done. This did not take long. But sometimes, if there's just a point to be made, you just make it and go home. I started today's teaching with the 1970 rock song, Joy to the World. So let's how about ending our message today with Joy to the World again, but this time, the Christmas carol. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing, and close with this prayer. Heavenly Father, you sent your Son to be with His creation. Jesus came as a king, but not an earthly king. Yet He introduced us to the kingdom, His kingdom of heaven. His desire is to be invited into the heart of every person. And so, Lord, my prayer is that everyone has already made room for him. And for that one person who hasn't done that yet, please give them another chance. And then finally, Lord, help us as we listen, as both heaven and nature sing out with joy to the world. In Jesus' name I pray that. Amen. And now go, all you boys and girls. Go and be blessed and be a blessing.